You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome to My Vagina. This is Jessie Karen.
And this is Rebecca Frank. And here we are again having our current hysterical, and infuriating conversation about our lives as vagina having organisms.
I've got to debate about the spot, but probably research is getting fools. It's definitely researched.
Beep, beep, boop.
Hello, everyone. Just a few quick announcements. If you love our work and you want to donate to us so we can bring you more content, please go to glow.fm and search for Welcome to My Vagina. You can donate to us once or donate to us monthly. Every little bit counts. As a reminder, last week we had the amazing Miriam Wassman on to talk about her super cool show called Your Faithful Reader, which will be held at the Triskelion Arts in Williamsburg, October 10th through 12th. For tickets, showtimes, and donation details, please check out the notes section of this episode for the information, but also because there's a ton of amazing information that Rebecca works really hard to mine for you. And last but not least, in this episode, we talk to Diana, first about Coke and ecstasy, but then about her experience with breast cancer. And because it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, this episode will be a two-parter. So this month, it's all about the boobies. And since we're on that topic, please remember to get your titties checked.
You want to tell us a little bit about yourself so you can introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. I'm Diana, your sister's friend.
You all might remember Lucy from an earlier episode, which will be linked in the episode notes.
Dope. Yay. And I'm here because I have like literally all the cancer.
Every last
cancer. And I want to talk about it.
And we're done.
That was the whole episode.
Yeah.
Man, that's funny.
It's true.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I feel like you could be part of my family. Right?
I felt like part of your family while I was like listening to your podcast. Because I was like, ooh, and I would like find myself trying to say things out loud to like add to the conversation.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And I was like, damn it. And then I texted you a couple of times.
Yes. Oh my God, will you please tell the story that you texted me about the cocaine?
Also, I just remembered what story it was. Yeah, so the story that you're referring to is I was listening to your episode regarding like what not to put in your vagina. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you mentioned was cocaine. Mm-hmm. And I have quite a personal story to tell about that.
Yes.
In college, I quite enjoyed my cocaine, okay?
Okay.
So I'm not ashamed. You know, we've all been there.
Yeah.
So... there have been a couple of, like, this happened to me the one time, and it just really weirded me out. So I was doing some cocaine, and I don't know if you know this for all those listeners out there. Mm-hmm. When you do cocaine, you, like, use your index finger of, like, the dominant hand to wipe off the cocaine from, like, the surface that you've done it from and, like, put it on your teeth.
Uh-huh.
But a little bit still stays on the index finger of your dominant hand.
Oh, my God.
Just figure out where I'm going with this.
For sure. For sure.
So then later on that evening, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to bed. I go to bed and I decide that I want to masturbate like I almost always do.
Best way to go to sleep.
Right, exactly. And so I go and I like cannot come. Like I keep going and going with it for a while and I'm just like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Like,
works.
Why is this happening to me?
Is it broken? Are you okay?
And I just keep thinking, like, why? Like, what's happened? Like, why is everything so, like, numb down there? Like, I'm sweating. Unfortunately, cheese. I'm not sweating cheese. But, like, it's just, like, I just keep thinking to myself, what is the matter with me? What's happening right now? And then it dawns on me at some point, like later on that night or maybe even in the next morning, I'm like, oh my God, that's right. I had cocaine on my finger and I tried to put that not in my vagina, but like on my clit. And it's just like, what?
Oh, that's phenomenal.
So ever since then, I always made sure before going to bed after doing cocaine that I would wash my hands.
Yeah, live and learn.
And like scrub that finger.
Especially the dominant finger on your dominant hand.
Right?
On your dominant coke hand.
Yeah, on your coke
hand. It's the finger that you use for like everything.
Yeah, it's an important finger.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And that's all I could think about. And I felt so awkward texting that to you because I thought, I'm like, she's either going to think I'm like really oversharing.
No, I was like, there's no oversharing. And can you please tell that on the podcast? Okay.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that at all.
We have a firsthand account of it now. It is true.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not pleasant. Like, I don't know. People say all kinds of weird shit about having sex and like using drugs. Like somebody told me, oh, you got to take ecstasy and like try to have sex. I'm like, you're so distracted. I don't think you could like get to that point. I feel like people say shit like that just to seem like they're so cool, you know, like doing the drugs and like having the sex.
Right.
But they're not really like, they haven't thought about the actuality of doing it.
It's like, I think the first time I did ecstasy, I didn't have, it was the same thing. I didn't have sex. I made out with a lot of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun.
Yep.
Swallowed a girl's tongue ring on accident.
Oh, no.
did you find it later?
I
didn't have sex.
I swallowed it.
Right.
Proof's in the pudding.
Exactly. exactly.
Just as sure as 1 + 1 must always equal 2. Everybody loves boobs.
Not everybody. Cancer hates us.
Here's the truth. It isn't perjury.
Perjury.
Many boobs have to have surgery.
Surgery.
1 in 8, and that's a fact. So help us, please, reduce that stat.
All right. So... tell us about all the cancer.
All of the cancer.
All of the cancer.
All of it.
So yeah, I mean, I guess I'll start with, I've had cancer 3 times, even though I'm, well, tomorrow I'll be 33. Yay.
Happy birthday.
But yeah, so I've had cancer 3 times in the last 3 years, and it sucks. And what can I say?
Yeah.
It's breast cancer. And I found it myself all 3 times.
What?
And it's, and it's like the weirdest thing because the first time I found it, my doctor couldn't feel it. But she, I found it and I was like, wow, this is kind of weird. And I had a bad feeling about it right away. Because it's like, I feel like as good as doctors are, none of them know your body the way you know your like own body.
Yeah.
So as I say, like, trust yourself, you know, like don't, if the doctor tells you, oh, I'm not feeling anything, don't just say, ah, fuck it. Like, no, you know, like get a scan or like get checked out by somebody else or whatever. And, but she sent me, like, she said she didn't feel anything, but she still sent me to get like an ultrasound. And she was like, you're way too young for a mammogram. Like, I'm not doing this to you. Just go for the ultrasound. But when I showed up there, I had the ultrasound and they were like, okay, yeah, you need a mammogram. And that's when I knew, like, even though I didn't have the biopsy yet, I didn't have like the confirmation, I kind of knew because it's like, I don't know, I guess if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's just kind of.
Yeah.
But, you know, you still have hope even when you think you're feeling hopeless. You know, like I thought I was feeling really hopeless about it, but there was still a hope there because when you do get the bad news, you feel that hope getting crushed. So it's like, I feel like whenever I feel like there's no hope, I'm like, I know it's in there somewhere because every time I'm still disappointed. It's not like I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
Never. But yeah, so like the first time around, they were like, oh, we caught it early. It's going to be great. So they
it's going to be great. Best breast cancer ever.
Yep. And so they were like, oh, you know, like it's triple positive, which is really weird.
What
Nobody
does that
told
mean?
Me that it was super rare. Well, when they when they check your like breast cancer, right, after they cut it out normally or even during the biopsy, they check it for 3 what's the word I'm looking for? Sorry, chemo brain. hormones, 3 hormones, because types of cancers that are very closely connected with hormones or like breast cancer, testicular cancer, like uterine cancer, those kinds of like hormonal cancers. I don't know if that's the right way to call them, but that's what I call them kind of. They
checks out.
The cancer, yeah.
Yes, I'm really into all your like genitals.
On the cancer. Right, right. And so it likes those hormones, right? So it like, not necessarily like feeds on it, but like those are the hormones that kind of, you know, help it grow. And so there are three hormones they check it for, estrogen, progesterone, and HER2. And yeah, it's another, like another hormone. I don't really know too much about it.
So HER2 positive breast cancer is a breast cancer that tests positive for a protein called human epidermal growth factor receptor 2, which promotes the growth of cancer cells. In about one of every five breast cancers, the cancer cells have a gene mutation that makes an excess of the HER2 protein. So HER2 positive breast cancers tend to be more aggressive than other types of breast cancer.
And so they test you for it. And, you know, most common, I think, is triple negative. So people are like negative for all three of those, or they're just like positive for some of them and like negative for others. Triple positive is quite rare, which my doctors didn't really tell me, but I found that out like through like talking with other breast cancer patients and stuff like that, like other doctors. And they're like, wow, triple positive. That's pretty weird, because like, you know how to attack it, but you have to like really attack it from all sides, and you don't know what else like could be going on.
Right.
So that's why after, like, even though now a lot of people assume because I'm finished with chemo and because I'm finished, you know, I don't need any radiation, I don't need any surgery and stuff like that, they're like, oh, you're done, right? Wrong, because you have to go through hormonal therapy, which could be for the rest of your life.
Okay.
And people don't know that unless they know somebody who is willing to be open with them about breast cancer or any kind of cancer and cancer treatments. And like, this is the main reason why I jumped on the opportunity to be here, actually, because people don't talk about it. And I hate that, because I wish there were more people talking to me about it. And I wish there were more people out there just like sharing their experiences. So when you plunge into this cancer world, it's not so overwhelming. It's just like, I've had too many moments where I would share something with someone and they'd be like, oh yeah, like I went through all that. And like, I wish this was public knowledge. Like people need to know. A lot of people get cancer. What is it, like one in seven women gets breast cancer? I mean, that's fucking crazy, you know? Like, we should know more about it.
So my mom had breast cancer as well.
Yeah, I drank wine with your mom and we had a girl's like, we got drunk.
Oh, yay.
And we talked about all the cancers. Yeah.
My mom will talk about it for sure.
Yeah.
And she, one of her complaints, and this is what made me think of it, is the fact that you didn't know that you had this like triple positive, right? That nobody told you. One of my mom's biggest thing was like, having cancer is bad enough, but having the information kept from you. And she's like, it felt like paternalistic to me, having doctors thinking that like I should not have this, or that it would somehow be like that me having all this information would somehow be an impediment. Whereas like for me, knowing everything is better.
That's well, for most people, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I would think.
I don't know. I feel like it does depend on other people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at least I know my mom for sure. She's the kind of person that she doesn't want to know.
Okay.
If she doesn't know, that means it can't hurt her. Mm-hmm. That's her mindset. I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
For me, I'm like your mom. Yeah. I'm more like more. I need to know every single thing because I feel that disease can be really scary. And I feel like knowledge really combats like fear. And I feel like it trumps fear, because something can be really scary, but then when you know more about it, you're not so scared anymore.
Yeah, you can figure out how to respond to it.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I retract what I just said, because I actually remember there was like a study done, and I think it was based on STDs and probably in particular HIV. And a lot of the people that they studied would rather not know, because they could still live in that area of, oh, I may not have it.
Like plausible deniability.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's irresponsible in another way, because it's like, if you can pass it on, I mean, you can't pass on cancer as far as we know anyway.
Oh my God, one day, who knows?
Who knows, except genetically.
Yeah.
But you know, it's something that's contagious. You know, I would definitely want to know. I mean, like, I was a super slut back in the day, and it's like, I was always responsible with it. You know, I would go and see doctors. I would make sure to use protection.
Yeah.
If I didn't, I wouldn't hook up with somebody else until I got that taken care of. Like, I got that looked at and stuff like that.
This is the Welcome to My Vagina public service announcement, everybody. Brought to you by Deanna.
Yes. Yes, and thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, it's okay to be a super slut. It's not okay to be an irresponsible super slut. Yes. You know, it's like.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Right.
Well, we just found the quote.
Yeah,
that's
we
the quote.
Did. We're gonna put you in a vulva speech box.
A few of them, I imagine.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Can I ask you, what is, as people who are, you know, in our 30s, so haven't had mammograms, what is that like? What, I don't actually know.
Well, it was scary for me the first time around because obviously I feel like it was more scary mentally than like physically, but also I had heard that it hurts and stuff like that. And it's like super painful. And I feel like it's unnecessarily so, to be entirely honest with you. I mean,
please.
Let me just say,
it pertained to women.
Yeah. Let me just say, it is like they squeeze the shit out of your titty. And I like, my breasts were also very dense, so they couldn't even see anything on the mammogram. Like, they could barely see, like, the image was so white. Because when you're young, especially, the younger you are, the firmer your breasts. Mm. So, like, the more dense the breast tissue is, so the harder it is to see. So they made me do a fucking MRI anyway. They're like, oh, because we can't see clearly on the mammogram, why don't we do an MRI? Like, why didn't you just do an MRI to begin with? And then they saw a couple of other spots on the MRI that they did not see on the mammogram, which turned out to be benign because, like, women get, like, cysts in their breasts all the time. It's, like, not a big deal unless it's hard, you know, like, it's really hard and you can feel it. So, yeah, I was just, like, kind of, what a waste of time. And then to follow up after I was done with the first, like, after my first diagnosis, and after I was finished with all of the, you know, all of the treatments that I was doing for that first cancer, they were like, well, now we're just going to follow up with mammograms every 6 months or whatever it was going to be. And I'm just like, you know, my breasts are dense. Like, why don't you just do an MRI each time?
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck? And they're like, well, if we can't see anything on the mammogram, we'll do the MRI. And I'm like, then why do it at all?
Yeah. Is it an expense?
I just don't understand. Thing? Well, the thing is, I have insurance. So they bill my insurance company. So it doesn't matter to them. Like, sometimes it feels like they just want to do tests because they get paid no matter what.
Right.
And it's like, I'm glad I have insurance coverage for sure. But it's like, there, I don't know. It's like, trust your doctors, but also do your own research and like use your own common sense. Not like, hey, I'm going to drink beet juice to like get my cure my cancer. Like, not like that, but I'm just saying, like, talk to several doctors, like, see what different experts have to say, you know, like, look online, like, talk to people who have had cancer. What kind of experience did they have? Kind of weigh it all in, because otherwise it's like, you know, you can get caught up in like one particular doctor's opinion.
I feel like people just assume like expertise from doctors and they're just the same as in every profession. There are good ones and there are bad ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to think that, but I have had a lot of doctors. A lot.
Okay.
And it's just they're people. Yeah. And I never thought about it that way before, which is kind of weird, but like, I never thought about it, but it's like, they make mistakes.
Yeah.
And they don't know what the fuck they're doing. Mm-hmm. And especially when I had my first recurrence and then my second recurrence, my doctor fired me after I had my second recurrence.
What do you mean?
He like fired himself and he was like, yeah, you need to see another oncologist. He's like, I treated you through the first cancer and I treated you through the second one, which was weird enough that it came back at all. Like, he was shocked. Just like completely appalled that it came back. And he's like, when it came back a second time, he was just like, he's like, you have to see somebody else. He's like, at least to get a second opinion or something. He's like,
because,
I'm like, I respect him for that because he admitted that it was beyond him. You know, he was more used to standard cancer, I guess, but mine was a little kind of weird. And so he was like, he tried. And the third time around, he was just like, yeah, he's like, you have to like see somebody else because I can't, you know, like I can't.
Yeah. And especially like going back to your comment about like realizing that doctors are humans, like we like lionize them, right? So we put them on, put them on pedestals and we think of them as these like infallible people because that's kind of like what we were brought up to think, right? Like they're out there for your best interest. They're out there to help you. And I think that I'm sure that after
certain, not everyone obviously, but certain people who go to medical school, they internalize that themselves and they say, well, I can do no wrong. Dr. Oz. And, and like, I've been wanting to
Well, there's also like a mentality of you probably not being allowed to fuck up.
Right. And thinking about the power of insurance companies when we look at like liability issues and the amount of insurance that doctors need to carry and the hospitals need to carry. But to have someone who didn't have such a big ego that he could say, you know what, I can't figure out this puzzle and you are more important than my ego. Mm-hmm. So like you need to go to somebody else because like ultimately me being stubborn and deciding that I need to be the one to figure this out is not going to benefit you at all, which is, you know.
And he, you know, he made it very clear. He's like, I'm always here for you. Like, if you ever want to see me, if you ever want to consult me, he asked my permission to present my case at his board meetings when he meets with other doctors and stuff, like when they go on conferences and things. And I gave him my permission because, hey, you know, like even if, you know, this cancer is just stupid and it's just going to kill me, I'd rather people have as much information as possible. I'd rather not keep this secret. So maybe they'll figure something out that's not going to be. Like, it might not benefit me, but it might benefit somebody else who has, like, a similar problem.
And that's the scary thing about people not, like you said earlier, not discussing it. Because, yeah, it would help the people that currently are dealing with it, but it would also help future generations to maybe, you know, have a better option.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I feel that way about basically everything.
Yeah.
Which is why I love your podcast so much. Because I'm all about open conversation about anything.
Yeah.
You can talk about anything to anybody. It just matters how.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to bring it up like out of nowhere, you know, but it's like, yeah, you have
That's
to,
awkward.
You can, right. You can like work it in and it's the same concept. It's like you never know what somebody else is going through and you never know like what you say, how it can affect them. Mm-hmm. And putting out as much information out there as possible, I feel like, is really the best. Mm-hmm.
And how people receive it. I think we're, especially because people don't talk about it, people receive it awkwardly. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's your experience, like interacting with people how they interact with you now.
I've had kind of like both sides of the coin. Because it's like I've had people who were awkward initially because they realized how open I was about everything, like straight up just like open. Mm-hmm. And maybe it put some people off, and I've definitely seen that happen. But maybe it like kind of shocked some people. But then once they got over it, they were able to talk to me about it. Mm-hmm. But some people are like welcoming it. It's like they want the information, and I feel like most of us feel that way. Mm-hmm. And people are curious. That's how we are, you know, like it's human nature to be curious. And I have no problem with that. I mean, I've had people ask me like, can I see your scars? Because like they know I had a double mastectomy and no reconstruction, which I will get into later.
Yes, please.
And people have asked me like, is this weird? Or like, can I look at your scars? And I was like, it's not weird.
Really?
Just lifting my shirt. Like, I'm your shit. And so it's like, I'm like, educate yourself. And I was, I go to this spa, and at the end of all the like things that you do there, like getting massages and going to saunas and stuff, there is a bathhouse where you go to bathe and everybody's nude in there. So you like take all your clothes off, you like put them in a thing. And I never had a problem with nudity at all. And not now that I have no titties, you know what I'm saying? So like, I wasn't sure how else to like phrase it.
But I think you nailed it.
Right. So like, I understand that that's not a typical everyday thing, but I was thinking about it the other day, like when I was at the spa with my friend, I was just thinking about it, like looking at all these women in there, I don't see a lot of surgery scars or lumpectomies or mastectomies or like double mastectomies. I don't see a lot of that. In fact, most women there just kind of looked shocked, like to see me just like parading around with no titties. Mm-hmm. How dare I? And right? So,
yeah, how dare I? That's a
but
really...
then I think about it, and it's like 1 in 7 women gets breast cancer. So it's like, why?
They?
Like, are they hiding? Like, there's a lot of women in here. Like, a lot. Like, sometimes there's like 20, 30 women in this bathhouse at the same time. And I'm like, are these women hiding? Like, why do they feel like they have to hide? And why don't I? Like, does that make me weird? Or is that like, or are they just like repressed and like are not able to like show themselves? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it's, it just made me feel kind of sad. It's like, I wish like they could just go out and show their non-titties and fucking be proud. You
I
know?
Mean, I guess it's hard enough for like women in our society in general to get used to being like a lot of women to get used to kind of being out in nudity in general, because I feel like that's even taboo. And then like tack on the extra added level of like taking away the thing that we've been objectified for our entire life.
Yeah.
And that is hard. Like, I will say when I basically knew right away, like even before I got my recurrences, I said to myself, I'm like, if this ever comes back, because breast cancer, unfortunately, it's a reality.
Yeah.
It will come back. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, most of the time it comes back, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But, and I'm like, if it ever comes back, I'm just going to get a double mastectomy and that's it. And I was like, I'm not going to get any reconstruction, none of that. I'm just going to get a double mastectomy. However, I did not expect to get a recurrence at 31, you know?
Right after.
When were you first diagnosed?
I was diagnosed, I just turned 30.
Okay.
So it was like the August of 2016.
Okay.
Yeah. And so like almost 3 years ago.
Right.
And yeah, well, I guess my second diagnosis was when I was like almost 32.
Okay.
So like I wasn't quite 32 yet. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so like I didn't realize that I was going to be so young. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy to say I'm not going to get any reconstruction thinking I'm probably going to be like 50 when I get my next recurrence.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, but I still, like, I didn't sway from my decision. I looked into it. I saw a couple of plastic surgeons, and I still decided, like, not doing it. Yeah. And I had my reasons for it, because I was just like, the more I looked into what reconstruction actually entails, the more it seemed insane to me.
What does it entail?
Well, first of all, even when I saw my breast surgeon, and I told her I wanted to double mastectomy. And she said, well, I'm going to send you to a plastic surgeon that's like right across the hall from me. She's like, you know, get a consultation with him. But she's like, I don't recommend getting silicone implants.
Okay.
She's or any kind of implants.
Why?
Because I had radiation on one side after my first cancer. And she says that when you get implants and one of your sides was radiated, the implants... the skin is always damaged. Like, nobody tells you this, that, like, after radiation, like, treatment, it's permanently damaged.
It, like, burns you, right?
Right, right. Severely. And so it's, like, it never heals the same. So it's, like, if you cut into it and you create scar tissue in the same damaged skin, it's not going to heal the same way as the healthy side, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So... she was like, yeah, don't do it because it just looks different. Mm-hmm. It looks fucked up. Like, women have trouble with, you know, like the implants and stuff like that if they've had radiation previously. And I spoke with my husband's aunt. She'd had a, I think she had one mastectomy and then another mastectomy later. But she did say she did get implants. Like, nobody told her this. And she does say that she, regrets getting implants because she says one side looks really weird and she doesn't feel comfortable like really like wearing like revealing clothes where it would be noticeable and she has to wear like a special bra, you know, because it's like, you know, stuff like that. So but when I went to the plastic surgeon,
face, I'm so excited.
Okay, I'm just
going
to have some wine right here. But when I went to the first plastic surgeon, it seemed the way that he was talking to me and the way that his staff, specifically his like surgery nurse, like the way they were talking to me, it seemed like my only option was the implants.
Right.
And I like brought that up with him and I was like, but my breast surgeon told me that this can be an issue. Like, is this not an issue? He's like, oh, don't worry about it. Because what we're going to do is we're going to take a muscle from your back. And don't worry, you don't use it anyway. And God. like I hate that. Like, we do use it. Like, we may not use it directly. That's why it's fucking there. Like, stop it. Like, and so we will tunnel it under your skin to the front to support your fake titty. I was just like... what? And so I was like, what? And then they keep showing me pictures of women like and their backs and the way it looks in the front. And it still looks fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm sorry, but like it does because your skin is radiated. It's not going to heal the same way as the other side. And like the back, and they're like, doesn't this look beautiful? I'm like, what? I'm legally blind. Like, are you looking? Like, what?
Yeah, you're like,
like,
I
who's
see.
Blind here? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. And I was just like, listen, I'm really not interested. Like, I'd rather just, you know, go flat, you know, like not have any reconstruction or anything like that. And they were like, well, let's talk about, you know, like, if you're not interested in that, like, that's fine. But, you know, let's talk about.
Obviously, it's not.
Right, yeah,
exactly,
right.
Because you're
but
still talking.
Like, but they even told me about it. They were like, oh, we'll have to put expanders in. And those go in for several months. And they will slowly expand your skin to stretch it to fit the implants. Yeah. Then you have to have another surgery. So you not only have to have a surgery to remove the breast tissue and the breast cancer with it and, like, you know, like, whatever leftover skin and whatnot. And it's like you have to, like, have a surgery, like, to put the fucking expanders in. Then you have to have another surgery to take the expanders out, put the fake implants in. But then after that, a lot of women have follow-up surgery because something goes wrong or something doesn't look right or the implant bursts or whatever. Oh, like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's
That's
so
like
much
my
shit.
Nightmare.
Right?
And
I spoke
for what?
To...
For what?
For aesthetics.
For
exactly.
What?
To me, that was insanity.
That's the thing.
This is not to say, like, I'm not judging any women
no.
who feel like they want to do this and yeah. it will make them feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
Totally. But the thing is, most women going into this don't know the fucking facts.
Right,
like, they
yeah.
don't know this. The only reason I know this is because I researched it myself. And it's like, I looked at interviews of women who went flat. Like, there's the going flat movement.
Yeah.
And when I looked at them, the majority of them had implants or had some form of reconstruction and had to get rid of it because something went wrong.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like wow. not a lot of them. Like, I think there's only one that I heard an interview with that decided to go flat initially, like right away, like just get the breast tissue out and just go flat.
Yeah.
There was only one that I'd heard of. I'm sure there's more. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure I'm not so special, but
yeah,
like,
yeah.
The majority of women, they had some kind of problem or they got tired of constantly having corrective surgery
yeah.
and they were just like, fuck it, like, just take the shit out. Like,
yeah.
it's not working out, fuck it. And so I was just, I'm just gonna skip this step.
Yeah.
And, like, for me, it was like not even a question. It was totally, you know, it made perfect sense to me. But I just, yeah. And, like, the second option they offered me was to take my, like, belly fat. And oh yeah, it's basically like a liposuction type surgery, but they take mm-hmm. that belly fat and they put it like in like where your breasts are supposed to go, which sounds like, all right. I was like, all right, tell me more
sure.
about it. I was kind of mm-hmm. like, okay, like I haven't heard of that before,
yeah,
but like, tell
I
me
have
more
this
about
already,
it.
Already, you know,
oh, right,
we all
right.
have a little belly fat. Just repurpose
Move
it.
Move it.
Right, right. That's what I was
saying. Recycle,
thinking.
Reduce, reuse.
But, it's not that easy.
No.
Right. It's not that easy. It's a microsurgery, which means it's a surgery that takes place under a microscope. And they stitch blood vessels together with thread that's like thinner than your hair. Like, you can't see it with the naked eye. You have to have, like, it's
wow.
a surgery under a microscope, like I said.
Holy God.
And people
no thanks.
Do that?
Like,
not
for me, like, oh no, people do this.
Wow.
Yeah. People do this.
Isn't that dangerous?
And it's a 12-hour surgery. 12
oh, and you're under.
Motherfucking hours
yeah.
that you are under anesthesia. Do you understand when I got
so
my regular
scary.
Double mastectomy, no reconstruction, nothing, I was under anesthesia for 5 hours. I couldn't shit for a week. I like cannot imagine Ugh. Like being under anesthesia for longer than that. Like, there's serious repercussions. Like, you're not asleep. Like, you're not
yeah.
asleep when you're under anesthesia. You're not taking a nap. You're not having a good time. Like, no, like, shit is happening to your body
yeah,
that like
traumatic stuff.
Yeah.
Right. That takes a long time to recover from, like a lot longer than you think. And if people don't know that. You know what I mean?
And
like,
it's yeah. for something you don't need to walk through your life.
Exactly.
Right.
And
you don't
that
need
that
them.
was my point. It was like, I'm not doing all that for aesthetics.
No.
To
yeah.
me personally, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of women would agree with me if they knew all the facts. But they don't know. They're like, I'm getting fake titties.
Yeah.
It's fun to say, you know, like, hey, I got this breast cancer, but the silver lining is I'm getting fake titties.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not a silver lining. Like,
no.
It's a really difficult process, and it's really painful, and it's heartbreaking. And
mm-hmm.
I've heard of women who got the tissue displacement reconstruction, like from the belly, and it didn't take. So the tissue just died. So you're at a risk
That's
for infection and Ugh. Other shit. Like, what my like problem is that this plastic surgeon and his nurse, they were like pushing. I'm
mm-hmm.
like, can I please see pictures of women that didn't get reconstruction? I just want to take a look at what that looks like. You know, right. Like I was curious because I'm like, this is what I'm interested in. No, they're going to show me pictures of the various reconstructions. I mean, I just speak for myself, but like, do your research. Like if somebody telling you that you have to get fake titties, you better slap them and then do some research.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you think about it and it's like, these are people who have been through hell. Like, so like all of this stuff, like, you know, I mean, obviously you know way better than me, but like what chemotherapy and radiation does to the body. And then to think that women are like
only their boobs. And,
yeah. Our quote unquote given a choice, but the information is stacked so against them actually making a choice, so against them actually being like prepared with information and saying like, hey, these are all of your options. You can get implants. These are the pros and cons. You can, you know, do tissue displacement, pros and cons. You can decide not to do any reconstruction. Pros and cons.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like really for that one, the only cons are just like society being a dick.
Yep. Exactly. And that's the thing. And it's like, but the first plastic surgeon's office I went to, getting no reconstruction wasn't even an option.
Wow. That is to hear them say to me.
It. Like, and I was bringing it up. So it's not like I was listening to them, like telling me all these, like, no, I was the one who brought it up.
You were like, what
initially,
if I just don't?
Initially, I was like, what if I don't do it? Like, tell me what's up. Like,
what happens? Good.
But what happens is
society
they don't make any money because the
doctor
gets paid, a plastic surgeon gets paid a lot less to just like stitch someone up than to do 13 fucking surgeries.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it makes sense, but it's shitty, but it does make sense for them, you know, so they don't really want to do that. And it's like, I will never forget, like, and then the doctor, when he was talking to me about like the displacement, he's like, well, let me examine you. I was like, okay. So like my family stepped out and it was just me and him and like the nurse. And he looked at my belly and he like felt around for it, like squished it or whatever, squished my little chub. And so, and he was like, well, there's really only enough for one here.
God, it's like the levels of shaming.
Whoa.
You know what I mean?
I was like, just everything. Like, how big are you trying to make them? Like, are you motherfucking trying to give me like triple F's? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like,
uniboob all the way.
Like, are you kidding me? Like, what? Wow. What? I like couldn't believe it. I was like, are you fucking
son of a bitch.
Kidding me? I was shocked. I was just shocked. Like, I couldn't. I just couldn't even respond to that. And then when my family came back in and like we were talking about it, whatever, and I was talking to the nurse, the doctor left, and I was saying to the nurse, like, listen, I gotta tell you, I'm leaning more towards getting no reconstruction. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, you can choose that if you like, but you have to just understand that you're gonna be deformed for the rest of your life.
Wow.
She used the word deformed twice. The only reason I didn't smack her is because my husband was holding my hand.
Oh
but
my!
How I wanted to.
Oh my God!
And I—that's when I knew I wasn't going to be using their office.
You guys, this was their sales pitch.
What the fuck?
Yeah, but it was just like I couldn't believe she said that. And I went with a different office, and the other doctor was younger, so maybe he had a bit more of a modern perspective. So he had no issue. And he told me, and I will never forget this, like, I'm really grateful for this because he said to me, listen, he's like, it is a lot harder if we don't do reconstruction to go back if you want it.
Right.
But it is possible. We can do it. He's like, so if you change your mind, like if you don't get any reconstruction and then you change your mind later, he's like, I will be able to help you. Like, it's not a one-way street, you know, like
it's harder.
We can go back. It's harder. Because obviously, like, you have to stretch the skin, like, it's a lot more work and, like, all that. And it's like, you know, but when you're doing it initially, like, there's, like, some loose skin that, you can, like, implement it and whatever. But I appreciated that, especially after my, like, first plastic surgeon office. He was like, it's not, you know, as permanent as you would think. It would be really difficult, but, like, we could do it.
We'll make it work.
Right. And so he... Yeah, he was great about the whole thing. I'm glad I switched offices. But then a couple of weeks, I think it was already after I got my double mastectomy, the fucking nurse called me back. She called me and I was recovering from my double mastectomy. And she was like, well, you know, you came into our office like a few weeks ago and we were just wondering, like, you know, are you getting your like double mastectomy? Like, do you need our services or whatever? I was like,
fuck you, bitch.
I'm like, I decided to go with a different plastic surgeon office. And she's like, oh, do you mind if I ask you why? So I told her.
Good.
I told her precisely why.
What did she say? And
she was just like, oh my gosh, like I'm sorry you like took it that way. I'm like, how else was I supposed to take it? No. I was like, bye.
I want to throw something so bad right now. I don't know what to do.
I know. It's like I couldn't.
Please, miss, tell me how I could take being deformed differently.
Right. And the thing is, like she didn't even realize, like, she didn't even realize what she was doing.
Right.
She didn't even realize it. I guess nobody ever took it that way. Like, nobody ever questioned her like that.
And having it parroted back didn't alarm something in her. Didn't have her say, holy crap.
Yeah,
that is horrible. I'm so sorry that I did that.
One case out of hundreds they probably take.
But also,
so it's like, you know. Yeah.
What's really scary is, like, you're obviously, like, a very, like, strong, you know what you fucking want. And but, like, a lot of people probably went into her office and were like, you're right.
Mm-hmm. I would
that
be.
Will make me deformed.
Yeah. I can
that's
totally
the fucked
see that,
up
and
thing.
That pisses me off so much. Like, fuck. Like, I hate that. Like, I don't know why I don't fall for that bullshit. Mm-hmm. I have no idea why. Like, maybe I'm strong. Maybe I'm like, I overthink shit. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know why I'm like
shit.
That. It's just the way I am, and yeah. It's the way I've always been. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I will do whatever the fuck I want to do.
Yeah.
Like, and that's like, I feel
that's
how such
it should
a
be.
Strong trait that, yeah. Like, I just don't give a fuck what you yeah. say to me. Like, I will listen, but I will make my own decisions anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, but I
and do your research
me off yeah. that there are people who don't have those traits and they're not presented with facts and yeah. they're kind of like bullied
yes.
or like scared into this like insanity, like mm-hmm. Into this process. And then they feel like they can't go back
yeah.
because they're already committed. They already yeah. had the surgery. They already had the expander put in or whatever. And then there's kind of like no going back and it's presented to them like, oh, this is a normal thing. Mm-hmm. No, having 13 surgeries on your breast
not
is
normal.
Not fucking
yeah.
normal. It's
yeah.
not. I had one surgery. And they were like, the way they were presenting it, like, I got my second diagnosis when it was like maybe 3 months before my wedding. So they latched onto that shit. They're like, oh we're going to make you look great for your wedding.
God,
like,
I hate them so
you know,
much.
And then we'll take care of everything afterwards. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
they're
God,
like, we
so
will.
Much.
Don't worry about it. Like, you're going to look great for your wedding. Like, that's what I fucking care about? Like,
yeah.
what the fuck? How about not being painful
yeah.
during my honeymoon? How about,
right.
like, being as healed as possible? Like, the best advice they could have given me is, like, no, no, no. If you want to be fully healed by the time you have your wedding, don't get any reconstruction. That's,
yeah.
like, the best advice
yeah.
they could have fucking given me. And I'm glad I didn't follow their advice because my wedding day, like, my wedding gown, it fit me anyway.
Yeah.
I had no ditties, and it still fit me. Like, the three dresses that I got for my wedding, the one that I wore the morning off to, like, board the ship, because we got married on a ship,
nice.
And, like, my wedding gown and the gown that I got for rehearsal dinner, all of them fit, and they looked better than they did when I had titties. I was like,
to call up the nurse and be like, how do you like them apples?
Because they don't make clothes that fit your titties, but then
yeah.
they want you to get fake titties. What the
it's
fuck?
It's crazy. Like, it's so crazy.
Like, why? I don't understand.
Oh my God.
Like,
oh my God.
Yeah.
She from the IBTC. Where she from? The IBTC.
Say what?
She from the IBTC.
Explain it to me.
She ain't got no titties, but she feeling herself. Shawty feeling herself. Shawty feeling herself.
We're just gonna real quick list off a whole bunch of words for boobs.
Boobs.
Boobs. Boob, 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 boob. You ready?
Yeah.
And yabos.
Melons.
Peepers.
Foliage.
Shirt potatoes.
Ha-has.
Dixie cups.
Danish Warburtons.
Nunga-nungas.
Chi-chi.
Tonka tickets.
Boobalicious.
Dennis.
Pamela.
Scroobs.
Wampa-wampas.
Danglies.
Sweater bunnies.
Fun bags.
Boob fest.
Snow-capped mountains.
Tina.
8-pound socks.
Juggernauts.
Boobozy.
Lung mittens.
Baby bottles.
Snack trays. Jesus.
Fun bumps.
Hooters.
Pillow.
Bitch tits.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Best thing ever.
Fap fodder.
Chesticles.
Leave it to Beavage.
Mount Everbreast.
Milk bubbles.
Flesh pumpkins.
Jambulies.
Boobler.
Thunder buckets. Chemical balls.
Milk bubbles.
Pancakes. Nortons. Oh, that's sad. Fuck utters.
Oh.
Mariah Crawford.
Cleavage cleaner.
Chesticles.
Tatties.
Mammary foam.
Moosums.
Pita bread tits. Oh, these are just like ways to call people's tits bad.
Oh, no.
I like your tits.
Yeah, we like your tits.
Yeah.
Boobs happens. What? This one's way worse.
Yeah.
Love knobs.
Shock absorbers.
Deja boobs. It's time for us to slide on out of here. You can find us on Instagram at Welcome to My Vagina. You can donate to us at Patreon, LiberaPay, PayPal, and Venmo at Welcome to My Vagina. Yeah. Yeah. Go to WelcomeToMyVagina.com and become a subscriber to our newsletter as well. We like questions and fan art and jingles. True. Check out Rebecca's awesome writing at franklyrebecca.com. Please also remember that our amazing intro was done by Elise and Willie. If you want to hire Willie to do some videos for you or art or jingles, you can find him at Woolly Willie. That's WOOLLYWILLIE. And his Etsy shop is Woolly's Studio. Yeah. Thanks, Kate, for being our amazing, dope-ass fucking producer.